Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Sarah Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Michelle Taylor, founder of Women in Wealth Initiative, which is a transformative platform aimed at empowering women to take control of their financial futures. Very important. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
So I love our audience to get to know you a little bit and, you know, why leadership or where you are now and how you got there. So why don't you share a little bit of your story?
Wow. Okay. Well, so I will start at the beginning. I was raised in a home where my mom was in retail management and, you know, counted every penny. And my dad was an entrepreneur. And I got really great lessons from them, but didn't really get the guidance that I feel like I would have benefited from. So I grew up with a lot of questions around money and not anybody that was acting as a true leader in that space. And I knew that I wanted to know more. I would find myself picking up magazines that were like money magazines and things of that nature to try and self-educate. And it was always something that was super important to me. So as I grew up and realized that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, I was chasing a life instead of a career. And I knew that making an impact and surrounding myself with great people, either as a leader or as a peer, was very important to me and having autonomy. So fast forward, I had two business ventures that I was very, very passionate about, took both of them to the finish line. And
excellent.
At 17 years old, I was diagnosed with leukemia very unexpectedly. Okay. So that caused a shift in mindset, which I've carried with me forever. And it additionally caused my husband and I to have treatments with IVF to have our family. So because of that, I realized that I wanted to work for myself. I knew that I wasn't getting the fulfillment that I wanted, and I was drawn to women and business owners. And that's kind of how this journey came to be. I started working on, personal planning and consulting, and then realized that the reach was still, I was still missing something. So Women in Wealth, the membership and community platform, was born. And now I get to spend my day hoping to change the way women think and feel about money.
I love that. And I know you are doing that. You're not hoping, you're doing that. I know it. I can feel it. So let's talk about money then as a business owner or a leader. And because we know it's important and not everybody truly understands the numbers when it comes to their businesses or even their budgets, if they're a leader and that's what they take care of, right? When we think about that, tell us why this topic, you know, is so important to you that we need to help others understand these things.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny, Tara, because it's not just that it's a guess. I mean, truly, I cannot tell you how many of my clients have no idea how they got to the level of success they have and where to go from there. Mm-hmm. And that was really the driving force of how do I change this? Where is the intersect that I need to come in to make sure that they've got the skills and the tools that are necessary? Mm-hmm. So as business owners, it's really important to understand how your money is moving, it's coming into you, what you're doing with it, and how you are deploying it. And, you know, when you're a dreamer and you are an entrepreneur and you have this big vision and the vision happens, oftentimes it's a little bit of imposter syndrome where it's like, I can't believe I'm here. Now what? And so I think for business owners, the challenge is always, how do I build my wealth inside of my business and also outside of my business while protecting my access to capital and liquidity.
Yes.
You know, when you want to grow and scale and you're working with a team, and maybe your CPA is saying, oh, well, let's look at a SEP IRA or let's look at some of these different accounts that here in the States specifically, there is limited access to those until you're, 59 and a half. So if you're a business owner and you need access to capital, now you can't grow and scale your business because you're in competition with your retirement accounts. So I think that that's the
Right.
number one thing for women business owners specifically, because we tend to be more conservative, but for anyone in general to really get a good understanding of having a plan in place where you know your numbers inside and out, and that they are not in direct competition with you, the growth of your business.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I do a lot of consulting and coaching with small business owners or leaders, and I can't believe how many of them don't really understand the financial numbers, which you need to know those numbers so that you can make the plans to buy that thing that you need for your business growth or to have a retirement. I mean, you bring up, let's not compete, but we also need to save for that if we're
Sure.
business owners, if you're a smaller business owner, of course. But we also need to educate employees, if we are leaders, on what do these numbers even mean and how can we improve them, right?
Well, yeah, and you bring up actually a really good point. Even with education and just having the conversation, I think true leadership comes from a place of rising tides, rise all ships. And for the leaders that are listening, share the tools and tricks and tips that you've encountered along your path on this success journey that you're on with your employees, because it's going to make them respect and trust you so much more.
And motivates them too,
And
because
motivate, absolutely.
yeah, I used to share the details of our profit and loss with employees, not to the exact, little nitty-gritty, but our sales are here and we're supposed to be there, and it motivates people. Or, when you have those bad years, people understand if they don't get the bonuses as leaders, or they don't get the profit sharing as employees, or there's a bit less spending, right? They understand it more if we share the numbers,
You're
right?
totally right. And that is hard in that space. And I commend you for doing that because it's, transparency is so important. And I think that all of us have that natural inclination to being a little bit more secretive with numbers and
Yes.
financials. And speaking specifically to women and their treatment of money conversations, we are doing ourselves a disservice by not having the conversations with each other because knowledge is power. And
Yes.
if you're an employee and you are, and I know it's tricky talking about things like that in the workspace, but if you are thinking about going into an industry and you're not sure what to expect, if you have a friend that is open and willing to have the conversations, it's just going to improve the likelihood that you're getting what you're worth.
Yeah,
So,
exactly. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I'm all about making almost an open book atmosphere, meaning
Sure.
financials for those who are listening, just so people understand where they're at. Because when people understand where you're at, they're going to want to improve to make it better, or be creative and innovative to make things better. Let's shift a little bit to some goals, because obviously when we have financials, we also have goals. And I mentioned sales as an example. Are there certain pieces when leaders or business owners need to understand finances that they need to consider really important when it comes to their goals?
Yeah, I think that the most important thing is your goal needs to feel a little bit uncomfortable. I
Yeah, a bit
feel
of a
sometimes,
stretch.
yes. So you
Yeah.
want to have a goal that is both meaningful and doable. If it's too meaningful, it's probably not doable. And if it's too
Right.
doable, it's not meaningful. So I encourage the business owners that I work with to take a 30,000 foot overview and really consider what is that big, scary number that you want to be intentional with this year. And I say intentional because I don't want them to feel like they have to save it or invest it. I want them to just have intentionality around it. And what I have found is when you're positioning it that way for clients, they're so much more open to really dream big and think, okay, even if I don't hit this number, I'm going to come a lot closer to it than if I don't have a plan. So I think that having a goal that you have personally, but also for your team, is going to be a huge difference maker in the success of your business and also for you personally.
Absolutely. And I'm all about goals. I do my program on goals. I coach on goals. So I have another question about that. When it comes to finances and or sales goals or money goals, whatever those might be, when we start to see those goals not quite getting to where we want to be partway through the year, let's say if it's an annual goal, how can we stick to them? How do we make sure our team or our us as leaders reinforce that we need to stick to this or adjust?
I think it's really important to understand as a leader how your team is driven. So, I don't know about you, but for me, when I feel that I'm behind the eight ball in a goal, it makes me, I work better under pressure. Some people are not like that. And so, those people I feel like are going to be the ones that want to maybe say, let's be realistic. It's more important to hit the goal. Let's lower what that target is. And I believe that good leadership says no, that we stick to the goal and work really hard and do everything. Because I think with that, a scarcity mindset of, are we going to make this? There is an opportunity for more creativity, ingenuity, how are we getting there? And I also think that when you make it a very collaborative conversation, there's more skin in the game for everybody. If you're sharing what that line in the sand is, and you find a way to get your team to really buy in to accomplishing the goal, people want to work hard for good leaders, and they enjoy the celebration that inevitably will happen. And I think that's important too, is to celebrate the wins with your team. But
Absolutely, yes.
yeah, I would say that you have to stick to those goals. And I would find time to get to know the people that you're leading to say, okay, there are going to be those in there that are really going to work that much harder, that, are like diamonds, are better under pressure. And I think looping those people in to help encourage some of the other members of the team that may not be that way is also a key component to getting a good group effort.
It's almost like you find those leaders within your team that are going to pull everybody else along, right? I want to talk a little bit about mistakes around these things because, with goals, for example, a mistake we can make with the numbers is that we're not going to meet it, so let's just forget about it, right? Maybe that's a sales thing. But are there any mistakes that you commonly see with business owners or leaders who are leading a team around money, around finances, that they're making that doesn't help them with the growth, but maybe other stalls or limits that. So any kind of those big mistakes that you're seeing.
I would say twofold. One thing is they plan on their business being where all of their wealth is built. I think that that is something that can be troubling. Your business cannot be your retirement. It can be part of it, but you need to plan and prepare to be diversified. I think another big mistake that I see is business owners are hesitant at times to reinvest in their business. And in order to do that, sometimes we have to leverage assets and use other people's money. And I think as a business owner, you have to get comfortable with debt and that conversation and truly understand, how do I create positive arbitrage where I'm using $1, but it's making me money in multiple places to grow and scale my business. And again, it goes back to, how bought in are you to this goal, and what will you do to accomplish it? Money is the most expensive place to hold money is in cash. And I know for a lot of business owners, especially coming out of the last 5 years where there's been a lot of uncertainty, seeing that big number in a bank account probably feels really good, but it also can lead to stagnation. You're just not growing. You're not empowering your team to shoot for bigger things. So you want to make sure that you're very intentional again With the cash that you have within your business, you're using it to grow and scale and encouraging the leaders within your team to help you grow something bigger. And I think it's a huge miss when you aren't doing that.
I like that you brought up a little bit around the mindset around loans and borrowing, or how you use that cash, because you're right. When we see that big number in the bank account, we get excited and we're like, okay, things are going well. And then you sometimes just stay there, and then other businesses are going to be innovative and creative and start taking over from you, and you're going to start seeing that number go down. So it's very interesting that you brought up, how do you overcome the fear of going to the bank and borrowing that money to reinvest? Because a lot of people have that fear of, I don't want to owe, or I don't want more debt.
Well, I think it's a very slippery slope, right? You have to understand your numbers. And if you do understand your numbers, you can rationalize the thought process around this is a debt that, if let's say it's costing you 5% to borrow it, but you understand what you're doing with it and it's making you 10%, then it's hard to argue with yourself on why you shouldn't do it. I also think that it's really critical for people to understand that some of the best leaders we've ever known in at least in the business world, Walt Disney, the Vanderbilts, all of these big names that people would know, in order to grow the empires that they did, they used other people's money. And the reason that it's so lucrative to do so is, at least here in the States, we aren't paying taxes on debt. So instead of taking money as a distribution from your company or leveraging and taking money out of an investment account, borrow it from someone, the bank specifically, because you're not going to pay taxes on that debt. And that is a win in and of itself.
Which goes back to also, I want to bring back your point of, if you know what you're doing with it and you're paying that 5% and you could make 10, you can pay that loan back. You don't even have to worry about that, because you have the 5% if you want to pay it back, and you have 5% where you're growing somewhere else, right? So it's a win-win if those bank loans scare you and you know what you're doing with it. I think those were your key words. You have to know what you're doing with it in order to effectively borrow other people's money or bank loans or those things, right? Would you agree?
I would agree. I think that, again, the more you understand, the less these conversations and topics are going to scare you. And, people, we all, I think, globally just have this hesitation when it comes to debt. And that's understandable in certain types of debt. But just how revolving credit card debt is bad because the interest is going to someone else and it feels like you can never get out of the hole. When you are borrowing someone else's money, but creating that positive arbitrage, like you just mentioned, that positive cash flow, instead of it going to a credit card, is actually going to you. So you have to learn how to differentiate between the two types of debt and realize that one is a valuable tool and the other one is going to get you really off track very quickly.
For sure. So if I am a new leader and I'm coming in, or a new business owner, maybe I'm an entrepreneur, right? And I'm really not understanding these things. Is there some roadmap, some way that we can get started, in understanding these things? I come from a corporate world. I did finance. So for my own business, I know, but a lot of people don't. And we know that from people we've spoken to, you and I, right? What kind of roadmap or starting points or somewhere can new business owners or new leaders really start to understand this?
So I think, we live in a time where there is so much education and access to resources at our fingertips at all times. So of course, you want to be humble enough to say, I don't know what I don't know,
Yeah, for sure.
and find people that are smarter than you to answer those questions. But the other piece of that, and something that I talk about within my community all the time, is you want to build out your own personal board of directors. And that's going to change
Yes.
depending on what life stage you're in or what you're working towards. But In order to truly shine as a leader, I think that you would agree, you need to understand when you are not the person that's in the right seat for that job. And maybe if, accounting and bookkeeping and taxes or estate planning, risk management, any of these things, it's important to understand who the people are that you need to bring into your table. And then knowing the right questions to ask them so that there aren't missed expectations within the relationship. And I think it's really just important to continue to evaluate those relationships as you evolve as a leader, as the complexities of your business and life change. But I think that you really need to have the humility to say, I don't want to be the smartest person in the room in every topic, and understand that time spent on things that are not your forte are costing you as a leader, but also financially.
And I think we can go with how we're borrowing other people's money to let's borrow other people's knowledge, because
Absolutely.
I say the same thing. As leaders and business owners, we don't have to know everything if we have a team that can help us, because otherwise we're overburdened and we get frustrated and we can't fully comprehend what we're supposed to do with debt or different types of debt or what does it mean to grow and all of these things when we're brand new into it. So just like we borrow money for the good, let's borrow the knowledge for the good, right?
Yes.
I think
Yeah,
that's, yeah, go
it's a
ahead,
big
sorry.
difference maker. No, it's okay.
Yeah, I think it's a great big difference maker, and I'm glad you brought that up because I really wanted to point that out to the audience. Again, new leaders out there, you don't have to know everything. You
Well, and
just
it
don't.
goes, yeah, and that's another thing too. Again, going back to the mindset of women, so often we are less likely to raise our hand and say, wait, I don't understand that, because there's this fear of, if I am vulnerable in saying I don't understand, then maybe others will think I don't belong at this table. So you have to get comfortable with that, because the longer you sit in something where you're saying, I don't understand, but I'm not going to tell anyone I don't understand, every day, it just, you're costing yourself growth and potentially money. You want to get comfortable. The boys do a really good job of raising their hand and asking others, and I think that that's an area that we can all hold each other accountable to and do a bit better on.
I agree. I think we really need to stand up and say, hold on a second, like, let's not move past this until I understand what you're trying to say. Or I'm new to this, show me,
Sure. Yep.
right? Let's get some training or mentoring or whatever that looks like for you. I think it's really important. If we were to summarize everything that we've kind of talked about today and you were to pick that one key point that you want our audience to really take away from today, what would you say it is?
I really do think it's the last thing that we talked about. I think that understanding your weaknesses and finding people that complement those weaknesses is one of the most important skills a leader can possess. Your team wants to see that you don't have all the answers. People follow leaders because of the way they make them feel. And I think adding a dose of humility and always being willing to grow and lean on other people is going to inspire loyalty and a growth mindset for your team. And I think that that's something that a lot of leaders struggle with, because they have that feeling of, I need to put on this mask, like I'm a leader, so I know it all. And I think that we all know, we're all human, that it's impossible to know everything. And it just allows people to see a different side of a leader and be bought into the vision.
And I like that it's like a personal thing, right? They get to see that you're human. And when
Sure.
we're honest by saying, you know what, tell me more because I don't understand, and you're my CFO, I'm just going to use that as an example. Tell me more because I don't fully understand, but I want to understand. When we show that honesty and that vulnerability, it ensures trust with our team. They get it, right? They start to learn. I don't know everything. Never will, like you said, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think it also gives them an opportunity to raise their hand and say, actually, leader, I'm really well versed in this, and I would love to contribute. And it just gives them a little bit of opportunity to shine and work really hard. And then it's a beautiful thing on all fronts.
Yeah, exactly. What an amazing conversation today. I really appreciate the topic that you brought to us today because it's something that a lot of leaders and business owners struggle with. So thank you very much. If our audience wants to learn a little bit more about you or what you do online somewhere, can they find you?
They can. I would love to see everybody listening in my community, and that's at womeninwealth.co. I also have a podcast called Talk Wealthy to Me.
Love
And
it.
thank you. And on Instagram, women_in_wealth.
Awesome. Thank you so much for this important topic and sharing your experiences today with us. I really think it is a great episode that a lot of people can learn from. Thank you.
You're welcome, Tara. Thank you for having me.
Of course, we thank our audience as well. We hope you were able to gain some valuable information or tips today. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and growth are the way to grow on your leadership journeys, or perhaps you want to learn more about our Rise to Leadership program, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca, a Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.